Okay, if we can stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to start off with the selectman appointment. I see we have three interested candidates here tonight. Thank you very much for coming in. I think the process is we're going to give you an opportunity to talk to the board about why you're interested in the board and would like to be appointed. So, no particular order if you want to. Why don't we just start with the closest and work our way right around. Give your name, probably whereabouts you live, and tell us a little bit about why you're interested in the board.
Okay. Well, my name's Keith Heyer. Born, reared, and very well, Rutland, but lived in Fairhaven my whole life. Went to school, elementary up to high school. I am currently a varsity football coach on the football staff here in Fairhaven. I teach special education at Pulte High School. I'm also a varsity baseball coach at Pulte High School. I have a wife and three kids. A boy and two girls, 21, 21, and 13. I see that the shoes to fill on Mr. Donner are going to be tremendously big. I think it's time for me to pay back, the town, for what I've seen them do over the years. There's been some great things come into this town, and I just want to see it prosper even more and more. And I can't thank you guys enough and Ms. Stanley enough for what you guys do for this town. I know it goes on the wayside a lot, and there's a lot of naysayers. I don't have social media, so I don't see any of it. I only hear it through other people in town, and my wife always tells me on what's going on because she's on social media. I'm not. I believe that I have hopefully some good ideas and would like to, express them if I am obviously elected. And it's time for me at 45 to make a change and try to pay back and help the town that's helped me for 25 years. I mean, it's been great. I've seen all kinds of folks come and go on the select board, and figured, it's time for me to help make a change in town to help the kids and the adults and everybody. Is there any, you guys have any questions for me or anything? Or?
I guess I would ask the rest of the board, is that how we'd like to use the time? Should we consider this sort of a back and forth, or would we like to hear from all of the applicants before we do any of that?
Well, you can ask a question. Yeah.
But I would probably want to ask the questions while it's fresh in your mind, because by the time we've got through it, we've made it. So what we'll ask a couple clarifying, then give everyone an opportunity at the end.
I'll answer the best I can if I can. Depending on the question.
Any questions?
Well, this kind of goes to all three of you. So, with respect to Mr. Doran, of course, it was a sort of change in his responsibilities at work that led to him having to step down from the board, which is rather unfortunate. I'm sure we all would have liked to have seen him finish out his term at least. And so, just with respect to schedule, the meetings, of course, take place currently every other Tuesday at 7 p.m., and we're all here now. So I wouldn't imagine you were here if you had a significant conflict with respect to schedule. But does anyone have any issues with the time that we generally hold our meetings?
Not whatsoever.
Worth asking it.
I can make it. You say 6 o'clock. I'll just tell the other coaches I gotta head out for a meeting tonight, but they're understandable. So it's
And Tuesdays aren't usually a game night for you.
No, we play Fridays.
Fridays.
Fridays and or really one Saturday game this year. Other than that, it's all Friday night games, and I try to support the Vipers, and I support all, everything that goes on. It's whether it be sports and or the concerts in the park. No way there, my wife and I, my family, and just You know, if there's a time you need something, I'm pretty flexible, pretty lenient.
Okay. I would ask the same of the both of you. So maybe in that respect, I don't think I have any questions specifically for you, Keith. I feel like the rest of my questions will kind of be directed at all three of you. So
Okay. Yeah.
I'll see if you all want to ask Keith anything. I don't know.
Any questions?
Any priority areas in the town that you'd want to focus on?
It's beating a horse, a dead horse to even worse, you know, with obviously the streets. I know that's a big thing. Sidewalks and just I've watched a few of the last meetings and it's on here and I noticed the questions and concerns about liquor license and things like that. And just I think all ideas are worth a hear, and all ideas are worth a discussion. Not everybody's gonna have the same opinion. Not everybody's gonna have the same. I like that. I don't like that. That's the way the world turns, you know. But I feel I'm pretty fair. And my big one is infrastructure, more or less, things like that, and making sure the money goes in the proper spots, in the right spots, if allowed, if that makes any sense. I hope that answers your question. Good.
That's where I was headed. You're spot on. Why don't we go, Glenn? Why don't we start with you next?
Okay, my name is Glenn Highsmith. Moved to Fairhaven March of 2024 from Ludlow, where I spent 30 years as an innkeeper. 10 years before that, I was a journalist, and I think some of my journalistic skills, perhaps of looking at both sides of an issue and gathering information, could benefit what I bring to the select board. While I was sitting in chairs waiting for Rick to cut my hair today, I was looking around at a barber shop at all the history that it's exhibited there, and it very much excites me to move to a place that's got such tremendous history and perhaps play a role in that. And what I'd like to do is to continue to talk to people, meet people, get their ideas, and work with the town to take ideas and make them reality for making this a better place to live, work, and play.
The two questions that were asked. Well, I'm with you now
Right.
here.
Yeah.
Time needed to attend the meetings.
Yeah, that's not a problem. I had been attending a number of meetings over the weeks or months. Got away from it a little bit, but I'm more or less retired. My wife works. We bought 7.5 acres of land up on a hill, and I didn't think it would be a lot of work, but making it, keeping it looking nice keeps me busy. But 7 o'clock on Tuesday nights, it's a good time. I could miss Jeopardy for a while. That's a day a week, but well, two days a month.
Okay. And the stay consistent, the second one about any priority
Right.
areas.
Yeah. Here's the priorities. You guys produce a nice agenda, so it would be to work through this and find out what is maybe in need of attention, what might need some help, and just speak to the if it is a renaissance going on here in Fairhaven to continue to push that plan in the positive direction.
Any other questions?
Personal curiosity is someone who's also worked both in hospitality and journalism.
Yeah.
What outlets did you write for, and what was the name of your inn that you called?
So the Timber Inn Motel in Ludlow no longer exists.
Okay.
It was flooded repetitively. August 28th, 2011 was probably Storm Irene when the water was this high. And then we had July 10th, 2023 when the water was that high. In the April 15th, 2019 flood, we applied for a federal buyout, which took 3.5 years, and then finally came through after the July 10th, 2023 flood. What the federal buyout is predicated on is that over the years, I paid $80,000 for flood insurance, and I got back $700,000, but it was never enough. There was always a loss involved. That was a federal, subsidized program that was just a losing prospect. The government should have never got into subsidized flood insurance. And so under a buyout, they look at a simple cost-benefit analysis. Let's see, if this guy just keeps rebuilding and reinsuring, it's just going to keep costing money. So we got out of that and moved here. We bought a nice piece of land up on Sheldon Road. My journalism thing was a lot of fun. I started out at a community newspaper in Darien, Connecticut, 1985 through 87. Then I moved on to a ski industry trade publication called Ski Business, and I did that for 5 years. That was a written for retail shops, how to buy, how to sell. But the industry was changing. Electronic communications were starting to happen. Advertising dollars were going down. So after 5 years, that publication got bought out. I had to find a different job, and I continued as a journalist with a publication called Promo Magazine, where I wrote about promotion and marketing. And I did that for 2 years. And then my father, who had owned and operated a motel in Ludlow, needed to kind of move on. I did not grow up there, but it was an opportunity to pull the plug on Fairfield County, Connecticut, which was a complete rat race, and traffic was bad in 1994 when I moved out. You should go down there now. So we escaped to most beautiful Vermont, raised 3 kids. 32, lives in Portland, Oregon, works for the Hillsborough Police Department as a crime analyst. My 31-year-old daughter lives in Washington, D.C. as a travel specialist, remote work. And our youngest, 21, just graduated college, has a degree in, like quantum physics or something like that. He's in tech sales, just started out. So, and he lives in Manhattan, in Brooklyn. That's cool.
Good.
Hope that's not too much.
No, just good.
Thank you.
Richard chatting.
I'm Sean. I'm Sean Brink. I live here in town. I live on Phillips Avenue. I bought Doc Sayers' old house for the ones that knew him. I seen that there was a position to fill, and moving here 12 years ago, and just kind of sitting on the backside, just kind of watching quietly and watching things. I have seen, it seems like there's a problem with people wanting to donate their time, wanting to put the time in to try to make things better. And I raised my family here. I got a 34-year-old that's in Pulteney, that's a nurse at the hospital. I have a 27-year-old that lives in Connecticut. She works in home health care. I have a 25-year-old that just graduated from Quinnipiac as a mechanical engineer, and I have two that are in school here. And I see good things possibly coming our way, and I would just like to kind of help make sure that them keep happening that way. I do, for the ones that don't know me, I do happen to work for the town DPW, so I think it kind of gives me a little bit of an insight on what some of the priorities should be. I don't have a whole lot of experience in as far as being a public official. I've always kept myself kind of a bay at that because I have a very open mind, and I try to take everybody's opinion as if it was me putting my opinion out there. And sometimes I wear my heart on my sleeve, and I let things kind of get to me sometimes. So I have kept myself away from stuff like this. But this time to help my community again, see my community go farther. I work for the DPW, so I would like to see some of the projects that have come about kind of gone by the wayside, maybe be talked about, come back again, see where we go. That's
so same two questions again. This time, time needed to attend the meetings.
I all summer long I work 4:10s. I'm done by 4:30 in the winter time. I'm done by 2:30 because we work 8 hours a day. So I have all the time in the world. I don't do a whole lot, you know. So I do have time. Short of something like a freak snowstorm in the wintertime, I might get called out. But if it was that bad that I had to get called out, chances are the meeting would be canceled, you know, because the roads aren't passable.
Good. And I know you told us that you had some of your priorities were making sure projects are completed on time, but do you have any other priorities?
I'd like to see we have got a good start on beautifying our downtown. We've got a beautiful downtown, and I'd like to see some more of that continue. I'd like to see some of the sidewalk stuff done. I stay off of social media because the naysayers you cannot make everybody happy. It's just, you can't. So I stay off social media so I don't get mad. I don't fall into those traps, as one might say. Pretty much the sidewalks, some of the sidewalk situation. I guess working with DPW, I know what it would take to fix the sidewalks. I'm not sure why we won't do what it takes to fix the sidewalks, but that's part of being interested in taking the job. I can understand more, I can learn more about it, and move on with some of the projects that I've heard that are really good projects.
Good. Any other questions?
I'm going to throw this back at sort of the home group. So you spoke about working for DPW, which obviously is something of an asset where you're, you know, focus on the town's, public works are concerned, could also be potentially perceived as a conflict of interest, which would, I'm sure, arise from time to time on particular votes. So something that definitely needs to be considered. And I guess for all three of you, if you can tell us if there were any other potential conflicts of interests that might be worth noting, making this decision.
Conflicts of interest, just in related to myself personally, or
conflicts of interest where your personal business and the business of the select board might come into conflict.
I don't think so. I think staying off social media for me is probably a good thing. I mean, not having it, you know. I mean, you just hear word of mouth on a lot of things, and you just let it go in here and out here, you know. Sometimes you gotta roll with the punches, man.
So, most certainly, I'd love to see more potholes filled for maybe my road trying to be paved, but I think there are other roads in town that probably are worse. So, no, I don't think it would be a conflict of interest if I was involved voting in or had a role in the road resurfacing list that probably exists in Joe's files.
Yes, we have.
I'm not. That's okay. My road's fine.
For people on Scotch Hill,
they have a legitimate.
Yes.
They have. That's part of my plow route. I know I spend a lot of time on Scotch Hill.
Setting public works and road maintenance aside, though, no conflict of interest for anyone.
I mean, in the true reality of it, it's We just signed our contract, so it's 5 years before it's going to be any of that anyhow. So
thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions?
Okay. I'm all set.
Yeah, I mean, I only have a couple comments for you. One is we're looking to fill the term with one person. It's great to see three of you sitting here and having an interest. So we'll be, our process is set up. We're going to talk later on tonight in executive session, and then there'll be, we'll reach out to you and we'll make a public decision. But I just want to tell you, for the two who aren't selected, that doesn't mean don't bother again. That means that come March, though, if there's still positions every year open and getting the signatures and running, I would, whoever the two are that don't get selected here, definitely I'd want you to reach out and get involved and run, because we have 1 year terms as well. I look at this, telling the rest of this term, someone's going to get to test ride to see if they want to run. And that's a nice opportunity too. So I want to thank you for coming in.
There's also committees that are looking for volunteers, which are very, very important positions that got a lot of say in them.
So
that's good for the town also.
I wanted to add the same, that there's always seats opening on every committee all the time, and it would be lovely to have this much energy in trying to fill them as we are seeing tonight. So thank you.
No one turns volunteers away. Last item, and I look at my clock and I say, okay, we're doing pretty good. We're staying right where we need to be. We've asked you quite a few questions. This is also your chance for the test drive. Any questions for us as the board members?
Were any of you guys appointed to the board to fill positions that then you got elected to the board?
Up at me.
Did that work out for you?
it's either been very rewarding or I'm a glutton for punishment. The appointment was when Chris Cole stepped down, and the first two years, you're still trying to get your sea legs and understanding how fast-paced things move, even though you're in a slow-moving bureaucracy. Like, it's an interesting juxtaposition. I enjoy my time enough so that I ran for the 3 year seat, and it's been good.
If there are no other questions, thank you very much for coming in. You don't have to feel compelled to leave. We won't be upset if you do, but if you want to sit and listen to some of the other stuff, you're more than welcome.
I do have a question, Glenn. Mm-hmm. How long, or either the three of us, will hear that? Will all of us sit back, yay or nay, or just the one person that's elected?
Do we have contact information from all three of you?
I emailed Joe and tell him I was interested about this, so Joe has my information.
I think it's reasonable. We're going to, I'm looking to Joe, who's probably going to be the reach out. We'll let everyone know.
Yeah, if the decision is made, you'll find out tomorrow morning.
Yeah, and we hope to make a decision. Thank you. So with that, we're going to move back to our agenda. And amendments to the agenda is the next item.
So I have an amendment for the executive session. I'd like to add one VSA 313A3 and one VSA 313A1. A1 is for attorney-client privilege conversation, and an A3 is for the discussion about the
personnel discussion. Yeah.
Okay, now A1 is your legal?
Legal.
Okay.
Sure.
Thank you.
Do I have a motion for that?
Make a motion that we add that to executive session.
I will second that motion.
You know what we're doing? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Any other amendments to the agenda? Moving on to approval of the minutes from August 19th, 2025. I want to put a motion.
Make a motion to approve the minutes as written for the August 19th, 2025 meeting.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, any omissions, deletions, comments? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
All abstain, all those in favor? That carried, we're good. Department head reports.
So last 2 weeks, things have leveled up. We have mid-July. We had all two arrests for each year. One was for an in-state warrant, second had an in-state warrant, and was a fugitive from justice in New York case. The judge did measure $50,000 bail. That's subject to waive extradition, so he's waiting to be brought back to stay in New York. We wrote 89 traffic or municipal violations in the last 2 weeks, 41 written warnings, one parking violation, and two crashes, one overweight permit. We did 14 sets of civilian prints. Provide you with a list of the highlights of what we did. That's not everything. As you see, I don't put a receiving ticket on there, but anything that's 20 or over, you kind of put it out there so you can see. But we're still experiencing a lot of 79s and 55, 81s and a 50. We still get quite a few of the 20 mile an hour or, we fish pretty hard. We wrote 1,600 traffic. It just doesn't stop. They just hammer down. But it's hard to deter that. But again, our crashes are low. So I don't know if that's a good sign of us being out. We have two crashes in 2 weeks for the year. And we're at 42. So it's really that's not a lot. It's a 1.25 a month, maybe less than that. So I think that the guys are doing really well being out. We're still continuing foot patrols and businesses and three major living blocks on Main Street. We've been there almost every night, walking through the three buildings, trying to deter anything. Some of the landlords have gotten complaints of people sleeping in the hallways. So we've been trying to be in there if we see it through the moment. Just to try to keep those kind of higher problem areas out. So we had 208 calls to service in the last 2 weeks, right? 3590 for the year.
Good. Any questions for the team?
Yes. Been doing a lot of traveling this summer, and I'm just curious, does Vermont allow for traffic violations to be picked up by surveillance? I'm seeing a lot of states or metro areas using cameras to pick up speeding.
I don't think there's any in the state that I know. The closest thing we had at one point was the Tigers. And the ACLU would stop them.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So we never invested in them because we see them running on the wall. All surrounding states have license plate readers, and we find them valuable, especially for tracking drug trafficking.
Yeah.
You see a car that, we sell that car in 87, or you go on 87 every other day.
Yeah.
A car from here.
Yeah.
So the ACLU stopped that use. But right now, there is no cameras. We do use a lot of spotters for cell phone violations and seatbelts and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
At this point, no.
I'm just curious. Seems like it would potentially free up some human resources for other things that need your attention.
I'm sure as technology evolves, at some point there will be something that would be acceptable to state legislators to allow.
All right. Yes, Rose.
What question? Where do you find the speeding more?
22A, Route 4 at the 55. We get played down about Dutton Avenue is a hot spot. Come off the highway.
That's a tough.
It is. Especially, I've always been a proponent, but that's a state road. I'd love to have the 35 sign facing as you come to the end of the off ramp, 35 right there, because most people turn and they head south or they go north and they're right back to 55, not realizing they're over right in the village. Washington Street is popular. Your major thoroughfare is where we find it. We don't get a lot on the sidewalk.
I just was wondering if it was more like 22A coming in.
Either way.
Or either way.
It's hit or miss. You can sit going get them north, sit going get them south. It's, and it's, if you look at the crash data that we put out, 22A is a hotbed. And part of us having the, and a lot of our tactics are both outside of normal time. It's under the highway safety grant. And that's one of the target roads, just the whole 22A corridor from New York border all the way to Virginia. So we don't know where that is. But that road in particular is one of our target roads for having the grant money because the fatalities and the crashes are highly probable on that section. So most of our traffic enforcement is either complaint driven or data driven to try to reduce crime, or excuse me, reduce traffic accidents.
Wayne Glenn was trying first, and then we'll you have a question.
Do the signs that, you know, tell you how fast you're going, are they affordable? Does Fairhaven have them?
We have one at Capitol Hill and I have two that we are trying to get installed. And so I do have two more that we bought. They're about $5,000. So we have gotten two of them. I didn't do it this year. We upgraded our radar units, but the last 2 years we have gotten a sign. So every year, because we participate in the traffic safety grants, we're awarded an equipment grant, and it's been $5,000. So I targeted. So we do own three of them. There's two of them, excuse me, one out. Two or two come out after work with DPW, but obviously they're in a move, and it's just difficult to try to coordinate when that goes. Well, it definitely puts it up. You see, like, ooh, and a lot of people are traveling don't realize it. So when it flashes, like, oh. Yeah,
like when it gives you a smiley face or a frown.
It's a reminder that, oh, this is a lower speed.
Look at one who goes in the Ludlow drop that too.
Chief, you had a question?
Yes. This is for Chief Humphreys. You said 42 crashes for the year.
Right.
How many of those are right out here in Elk Grove?
A lot of them are by top of the hill. We get a lot of Main Street.
Main Street.
How about right where you have to stop coming this way to the park? Where you see, when I was growing up, that used to do that through it, and everybody said the yield. Now you have to stop, and when the traffic, like right now, probably when you stop, you can't see anything when it's coming at you. I ride a motorcycle. I've almost been clipped multiple times because I'm trying to creep out and see up through. I don't know when or who decided that would be a great stop sign. But I just think it's a real big issue. Guys, you know, I was thinking maybe more than half the crashes are right there because people trying to pull out and they can't see it. Boom, they get hit. Somebody trying to go straight.
A lot of them are up the Washington Street, up along
the Shaws. Curious.
So there is a small percentage there. Yeah. A higher percentage is actually in front of Durfee's and the Bridge Street at that corner.
Well, so a lot of it's people trying to turn.
Yes.
Is there a way to make that street a one-way street?
We got into the Liberty Street one way. I've been on the board for 7 years and we tackled it.
I'm sorry, I guess it's the wrong question. I apologize.
Not Liberty Street is the problem. It's
people
get confused because right now, look, the lines aren't clear.
Yeah.
And I've worked for 28 years. There's always a turn lane.
Yes.
Well, you have a lot of people that they move over here. And if I live here forever, if somebody goes that way,
I'm
I go
going to
right. And they're really just making the swing into to park. So you get a lot of those people try to go around and they turn right into them. So,
gotcha. I was just curious because one of my.
I think the marking is quite important there. And
yeah.
It's getting pretty shabby again. I think that marking is very important.
Yeah. But I was just curious. I didn't mean to.
No,
never say one way on.
I didn't know this was such a long-standing topic of conversation. So it's enlightening to me.
It is usually
as an outsider.
When we get into the one way, we can almost fill this room with people with their opinion about that. The point's well taken, and when you. The one I've been hearing the most about is out by the Monument Triangle because you have a stop sign, stop sign, stop sign. People going to Dollar General just going through, and everyone thinks there's another stop sign. And that's where the near misses seem to happen.
Because when I was growing up, that was never a stop sign coming this way. That was always the right of way.
Right.
And then if you wanted to go straight towards the Great Elementary School, you had to yield. And I never ever thought there was a big issue with that until I saw a stop sign, and then I'm going, whoa, I've almost been hit with a dozen motorcycle trying to creep out. You ride, you know how hard that would be to try to. Then you're like, well, I'm already halfway out. I'm going to give it to her. Then somebody does, they don't care. They just going to try to run the door. You know, it's just that just a thought. I wasn't sure where all the crashes were from. I didn't know if that was half or not.
All right. Going to move us on to the other department head reports. Joe, you're going to cover for
everybody else. Wastewater is running smoothly. No report from them this week. Mm-hmm. I will talk a little bit about public works. Reclaiming of Scotch Hill starts tomorrow. So that Scotch Hill project is moving forward. The DPW did a little bit of sidewalk work over last week. The patch on West Street is not, or the hole on West Street is not patched up in that sidewalk. The West Street Cemetery, we had a dead tree over there. Those guys are coming up next week to cut that tree down. There was, I think the cemetery committee had some concern. We got the trucks oil undercoated today, and they're still out there mowing. But you see them, be careful. And that's what I got for now. I'm sure there's more in my other report. Yeah. Moving on to my office and a little bit more about BPW. Budget season starts actually today.
So we're
budget,
oh.
Which is on the agenda to chat. We had 35 Cassets and freshmen come and clean and paint the fence, not this Saturday, but the Saturday before. They did mostly a good job. It was a pleasure working with our incoming freshmen. The food truck frenzy is tomorrow. Party starts at 5. I'd get there early. We're expecting a very large turnout this time. We've done a lot of advertising. 29 vendors, I think, this time around. Yeah, it's you know, I hope it turns out. Sale of 7 Union Street, that closes on Thursday, so we'll be done with that piece of property. The junk ordinance was posted. That becomes effective on 10/27/25, so we got a couple of weeks to wait on that. If you were out on Airport Road last week, you'd notice that somebody was out there spraying the viaduct, the bridge, with something. They were just sealing it with, I think he said, silicone. They're just protecting the infrastructure there. For the water department, we want to thank the water department for the good work they've been doing these last couple of weeks. If you saw them up here on North Main and 4th Street, they repaired a hydrant. That thing's been out of commission for a couple of years now. They just went up there and fixed it up and got it going, so we appreciate that. And something that's not really new to us, we're exercising the water valves in town. It's not a piece of maintenance that we've done in the past, at least not when I got here. And the water department's out there doing that, making sure all the valves work just in case a water line breaks.
I think I remember you saying at the last meeting that one already needed to be replaced, and I remember wondering if that was came out of the testing that we were doing for the first time, or maybe I'm misremembering.
We replaced one on Carnarvon a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
Maybe that's
after it was tested and found a failure.
Not that was
exercised.
Was the one on
Carnarvon?
No, the other one, the one you guys were doing that day, was that one of the stock?
That one was, yeah.
There you go.
I think
one of them
was stuck and one of them was leaking.
Now, are these individual home valves that you're testing also, or is it just the mains?
Right now, they're focusing on the mains right now. Just, you know, the ones that are going to have the biggest impact.
Right.
Once we get all those going, it's a step-by-step.
Have they found any other ones that are not working right, or are we okay so far?
So far, they're okay. They did find one that was just filled with muck. That they don't think it's been exercised or touched since the day it was installed. So, yeah, which could be, you know, how long. So,
down 19. Potable water.
Yes, it's the water you drink. Zoning update has been warned. So this is the zoning rewrite that the, I think, Planning Commission did.
Mm-hmm. For the subdivision regulations?
Yeah, the subdivision regs. That's been warned. So this board will see that and have that hearing on the 30th of this month at 6:30. So it's an early start so we can get that out of the way and then move on with normal board business. We talked about Wilkes. I wanted to mention Mr. Wilson, Rick Wilson. He's been doing such a great job helping the Historical Society move forward with their space upstairs. He's really taken it upon himself to do some wall repair, do some patching in the walls, clean up the floors, hang some of the Historical Society's treasures on the wall. So I really wanted to thank him. He does it with no thanks expected. I just really appreciate it. Yeah, him and his grandsons have been up. I've seen them quite a bit these last few weeks, so I wanted to thank Mr. Wilson. And that is what I have for you.
Got a question. What can you tell us about the project up by McDonald's? How are they coming with that program up there?
Coming along. I heard last week that they went deep to get under the road. They're doing a directional bore, and they hit some water. We knew that water was there, and I guess the water's deep, but yeah, they're chugging right along with it.
And for anyone who might not know what that project is.
They're improving the water lines in that area too, just like they did down here on South Main. We're making those lines a little bit bigger, and we actually improved some of the delivery lines that are at that big empty at the land right there with nothing on it, just in case somebody did want to come and build something big. Now there's access to that.
And also upstairs, how are we coming with the air conditioning, the last heating unit?
Everything is in operation. I haven't seen them in a couple weeks, but that last unit needs to go in and be, the last unit is in. They've been working on the ductwork, so it's coming along. It's almost there.
So we don't know how much money is going to be left over for painting of the historical room and whatnot. Yeah, or is that being taken care of?
The Historical Society painted the ceiling on that in their room with money from the fire department.
Joe, have we heard anything about when they're going to take care of Prospect and South Main Street, the bridge and all that, the hill?
It should be in the next. Should be the next couple of weeks. I can't give you a guarantee, but the same company that's paving up here, paving Scotch Hill, is also doing this work too.
So when they're done with Scotch Hill, they'll just keep moving along. Okay.
I don't know if they're start here or start there, but it's coming.
There's a couple different phases. They're grinding Scotch Hill first in preparation for paving.
Yeah.
That's a different crew. Another crew will be moving in. They very well could be down there tomorrow. We don't know.
Okay.
No, I haven't heard anything about paving. At least not that space.
It's supposed to be soon.
Yeah.
Any other questions for John? Moving right along to old business. Water, sewer, electronic invoice initiative, third discussion. It's third time the charm, maybe. Okay. You want to set that up for us, John?
Yep. So this is the discussion I've been having for the last three meetings, I guess. We're still requesting a $5 incentive to add, or I guess, to credit to our water and sewer customers to make it a little more enticing for them to switch to an electronic billing system. If we move to electronic billing, that will save us a ton of money on postage and labor time. It takes a lot of time for Eileen to stuff those envelopes, and postage continues to go up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's where we're at.
Any questions from or comments from board members on that proposal?
I'm not against any of that, but not everybody will do that. And so is there a percentage that you estimate will do it? Or?
I don't have a percentage. If
we do this, I think we need to understand that we're going to see a drop in revenue. I'm not sure what that looks like, but we need to consider that during budget.
No, you shouldn't see a significant drop in revenue.
$5 per person.
Well,
one-time shot.
This is a one-time shot, but this is a one-time shot, but it'll also save a dollar almost on postage and handling.
Yeah.
Per person that volunteers to do this.
Yeah.
But over time, that'll come back.
Yeah. But
Chad is correct. In the first billing period, it could be between $0 and $10,000 ish, right? Drop in revenue on that first billing period. Is that going to be an issue for us?
No, it won't. We call it a drop in revenue, but if you took everybody that could possibly do that, give them $5, that's only one quarter.
Yeah.
Right. So now we're saving money, that dollar for all of those 2,000 people. So it's you make your money back after three quarters.
I like that you asked the question.
Right. because if anyone wants to do the what if math themselves, we have about 900 water and sewer, 920. And if you want to throw out, for example, say, okay, I'm going to be hopeful and say that 200, 250 will go to this e-filing. The price of a stamp these days is X times that. How long before you recoup the $5 that you got there is how you do the cost benefit analysis on that. But it's the way I understand it. You're looking for just a step in that direction. And for those people, because I was getting some phone calls or some people reaching out would be the best way, saying, wait a minute, is it going to cost me more money for my water and sewer if I don't? First of all, I don't have a computer and then all that. And they're saying, hey, this is my understanding is what you're proposing is probably with the next water and sewer bill, there'll be something in it saying if you would like to get your billing in the future, we'll give you a one-time $5 discount. Just email us and whatever. I'm probably oversimplifying the process.
You're actually touching on a good question. So what is the proposed enrollment process?
We can post on Facebook and email those folks that we have their email addresses. But yeah, a flyer in the bill is the most effective way to hit all of our customers.
And how will they enroll? Is it by phone, by email, minute, form?
No, they would just send an email. It'd be easiest to send an email right to Eileen.
To Eileen and Dre.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So. And my understanding is that's what you are recommending is we kick this off and we do that. That being the case and being the third time we've talked about this, does anyone want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion. To make a motion to approve a $5 incentive to have water and sewer customers switch to electronic billing.
Right.
One time.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that. I mean, it's got to help. It's a step in the right direction.
And for discussion, before we start going here, we would want to make sure we communicate, because I still think if the minute show or someone watches this on Peg TV and says, my God, they're forcing it. Yeah. If you do nothing, nothing changes for you.
Strictly voluntary.
You're not being charged more. You're not being charged less. If you just continue getting your water and sewer, you'll be getting them just like your last bill. Did anyone have anything else? I don't want to know that. But no, that's exactly what most people would be thinking. Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
Any other discussion?
I'm largely in favor of an incentive for electronic billing. I think it makes sense. It's fiscally the smart thing to do. I think it's environmentally the smart thing to do. I think there's a lot of good reason to do it. I've expressed my concerns about the way that we will administrate this program. It wouldn't be my preferred method. It wouldn't be my preferred incentive structure. I would much rather a smaller recurring incentive than a one-time larger incentive. All things being equal, though, I don't have to manage the program. Joe will and his staff will. He feels very confident in how he proposes to roll this out, and I will defer to his judgment on this because I still am in favor of this on principle, just not necessarily in the exact form of it, but I'm willing to vote in favor of it.
Okay. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
It's unanimous.
Unanimous.
Moving on to the Blighted Property Ordinance second discussion. Can you see that one, of course, to the public?
So the board has, after passing or during the discussion, when we were talking about the junk ordinance, the idea had come up about, hey, maybe some of the things that were in the junk ordinance shouldn't be there. I think tall grass is one of them. And should the town have a blighted property, and I'm using that, I don't know if we used that word at the time, but a blighted properties ordinance, something that says, hey, your windows are boarded up, your weeds are tall, your steps are crumbling, we need to do something. And that's what brought this about. I did go online and did just a little bit of poking around to see what other towns were doing. I talked to Rutland Town, I talked to their town manager, and they had success with their, they call it their ordinance for public nuisance properties, public nuisance. They had success. So with the three, you know, I put three in the package, but I was wondering what the board was thinking. Like I didn't want to just go write an ordinance and then and have a butcher or rubber stamp. So I'm looking for guidance on this.
Yeah.
Any comments from Woodman?
The only thing I have is my concern is the more of these ordinances we get, the harder they're going to be to enforce. There's a ton of enforcement has to happen out there that just can't be gotten to because of lack of folks and everything. So I think we should try to concentrate on maybe our junk ordinance first and try to get that really a real handle on that before we move forward. But that's, I'm only one person.
I think this ordinance kind of goes hand in hand with junk ordinance. And I would imagine we have the authority, or we want to look to make sure we have the authority to install some sort of ordinance enforcement officer. I don't know, it'd be something similar to our health officer, but more specific to general ordinances, so that chief isn't out there, you know, traveling down.
Joe and I have had that talk. We'd like to find. I do it in Grantham, not Grantham.
Yeah.
And I get a small stipend a month. If I get 30 calls or I get none, it gets the same.
Yeah.
And I don't, that's the way to set it up, or set it up hourly.
Mm-hmm.
But it is beneficial. It does remove one of us to do that work. So Joe and I talked about, even if we started with $1,500 or something, and just had somebody dedicated that, I'd like that person to kind of work out of our office because we can track it manually. We keep track of tickets, traffic court, and all that kind of stuff to be managed through. Have that person kind of.
That would be good.
It does seem to work in other areas to have them out. Like, it's called ordinance officer. I don't think it's called ordinance, but you could dub that into the junk ordinance and all the other solid waste ordinances, that kind of stuff would happen.
Yeah. My other thought on this is if we're going to do an ordinance, I wouldn't want to limit it to a vacant building. I would look at the public nuisance ordinance in Rutland as more of a guiding light. Vacant buildings do cause issues, yes, but I think we also want to be a town that stands up for tenants, and if, you know, someone is renting apartments and their buildings are in disrepair, I think it's our responsibility to make sure that those repairs are in order.
Well, it kind of goes hand in hand, tenants and landlords. I mean, you know, they need to work together, and they need to
keep things clean.
Good.
Rutland City has been successful on their vision program, and that it's that multi-pronged approach between the health officer, between animal control, code enforcement, or ordinances, and that kind of stuff on combating crime, combating areas, but it also has the other effect that you do have some properties that you might have one that might need some attention if there's no fee to do something that it does your property values do go down the next door if you live in the next door. So I think it's an overall. People want to live here and they want it to look.
Sam, did you have any? Before I jump out of the crowd, I want the rest of the board to have an opportunity to weigh in.
Yeah, I'm still broadly in favor of an act of time.
Hey, Joe.
This is, I don't know, it's about this, but it's, there's a lot of, not a lot of folks, I've heard folks express their concerns about, this is my property, you're not going to tell me what to do on my property. That's not about that. It's about the folks that are living next door to somebody, like Mr. Greeno said, that the home is in such disrepair. Now the house I bought for my family is now diminished by half in value.
Yeah.
It's not about trying to punish somebody. It's about keeping the community looking fine and keeping those values up for our residents and our families.
Yeah.
So thank you.
And it's also, it's a health, when you get down to it, it's a health and safety concern. Mm-hmm. If you have some of this where you, every now and then we go through periods of time and people talk about the vermin, that the infestation that comes in, well, usually when you have dilapidated property and then some garbage, if one is just going to move, all we're trying to do is improve that. My only comment on this is I'm saying, if you're saying, are we interested in exploring this further? I would say, yes. My concern is we're going into budget time and everything else. I don't know if we have the bandwidth to work a new ordinance because there's quite a bit we got to work on. I would feel more comfortable myself putting this into our parking lot so that after we put our budget together and we do the other things like the meeting we have to have for the subdivision, but because we have quite a few other irons in the fire right now, needs to be done. We've taken a good first step in having a junk ordinance. It's out there to your point, Richard, we're working. But
I think upcoming budget season, we really ought to pursue funding for enforcement of these ordinances that we already have in place. Mm-hmm. Dog ordinances, there's poodles of dog problems that they can't get to.
Mm-hmm.
There's tons of them. There's a ton of unlicensed dogs out there. Every street has a bunch of them. It takes a lot of work to get this done. And the more of these ordinances we have, the more people it's going to take, or none of it gets done.
Can I offer an alternative to holding off during budget season? If the board would be so inclined, perhaps myself, maybe Sam too, could take a crack at drafting some things.
A little subcommittee, I know, sir.
Not to volunteer you, Sam.
No, I don't mind at all. Sam loves ordinances.
But, working on that on the side and then coming to you all with changes that might be reasonable and we can move forward.
Yeah, that's a good.
My belief is if we can move forward on, like, say, the junk ordinance, for an example, and the dog ordinances that we have, if we can kind of deal with them things, some of this other stuff might just fall right into place where we want it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it kind of all goes hand in hand in a lot of ways.
But as a board, if you have any problem with the phone,
no,
a couple members want to go, and
I think
easier to edit than create. You want to go and
put great idea. It's a great idea.
I mean, and we'll, yeah.
And my suspicion is, I don't know, in last week's packet, Joe, did you include like a VLCT boilerplate version of this? Because my understanding or my big recollection is that the Vermont League of Cities and Towns provides a template to follow for all of these kind of standard ordinances that a lot of towns have.
For a lot, I don't know.
I didn't see one for that.
I don't
Okay.
care.
I did go through and look, and they have a lot, but I didn't see one that would really fit our purpose.
But my hope would be, in the interest of not reinventing the wheel and editing rather than creating out of whole cloth, we just work with what has worked in the past and try and just
Yep.
tweak it a little.
Understood.
That's fair.
Are we got our input in here. There's some Keith in your.
Yeah, it's kind of a two-part question, one for Joe and one for Officer Humphries. What do you consider blatant or bad junk? Like, you guys have this blatant
Joe.
property ordinance, as in, like, does somebody have, well, I'm seeing them out of unregistered cars that are just piling up, or somebody have too high grass and they just can't
Just
maybe afford to mow it or something.
sorry, just as a point of clarification, tonight we voted on the new junk ordinance, but now we're discussing the blighted and vacant homes proposed ordinance, which are two separate matters, and I just want to be sure which of the two you're talking about.
What, either or.
Okay.
So what do you like? Do these people have like scrap metal just piled up and they're making money off that? Or is their grass too high to get all these rodents coming around making other properties value
So
decrease?
this, so as far as the
I
junk,
mean,
as far as the junk ordinance is concerned, the one we voted on tonight, we were deliberating on the language over the last several weeks. We actually
okay.
removed some portions of language,
I'm just trying
which
to
addressed,
figure it out. That's all. I
yeah.
mean, that's.
So we removed some portions of the language which addressed overgrown grass for the very reason that, from my point of view, that if we were going to be making mandates about the height of an individual's grass, it shouldn't be related to whether or not they had junk on their property. Those felt like two separate issues. So
Gotcha.
the new junk ordinance, the language, we've collectively made some edits, and reference to overgrown grass has been removed. Where the proposed blight and vacant homes ordinance is concerned, part of the reason we brought this up for discussion is because of the suggestion that maybe this would be a more appropriate place to talk about overgrown grass if we were going to.
I was just curious. That's
No, you're good.
all.
It's a very good question.
The second part of my question is, you said something about
Yes.
ordinance officer. I know you guys are strapped, and would that hurt you guys sense like somebody going out and writing the or the tickets or whatever? Is this would this be like an on-call basis, or would they have to do this so many hours a
No,
week?
it'd be so how I envision it, it's strictly on call, strictly part-time, strictly complaint driven, unless the board or the town manager decides, yes, we want you to go out and tackle an area in town. And that's so right now we don't right now it falls to me. And I don't even do it. I try not to do it punitive. I look, somebody makes a complaint, yes, you're in violation. Based on what I see, if it's a junk order, we send them a letter that says you have 2 weeks or 30 days to remedy the problem before we even start pulling any action. So we're not even writing tickets. We're trying to address people's needs. We understand people don't have a lot of money. And if somebody says, I don't have a lot of cash, it's going to take me 2 more weeks to get my trash or my garbage food, okay, we work with it. At some point, there's a line in the sand that we can't do that.
Do you have to have some sort of a background in doing that, or can it just be, hey, I'll do it. I don't have a problem helping out just by doing that.
I think the answers to a lot of those questions will be in what they'll be working on the detail of that. And it'll be a well documented, this is what you got to do. Glenn, you had your hand up. Did you get your question answered?
I was just going to say, if you've got junk and you've got light, you've got bucks, fix it. And whether or not there's assistance that might be available. And I think you kind of alluded to that, and, whether it's like the Rotary Club or some other entity that's willing to help people.
I always have some football players that are probably more than willing
Right.
to say, hey, we don't mind helping these folks out because they can't either do it, or I have boy strapping young men that probably wouldn't mind,
That's
you know, volunteering, a couple hours on a Saturday or Sunday if there's nothing going on to help clean up something.
That's a great thought. And toward that end, when I was calling around to some of the other towns discussing the junk ordinances, one of the ways that they tried to incentivize people to pick up the junk that was accumulating on their property was effectively by offering credit to bring their junk to the landfill, which I don't know if we discussed that or not with respect to our conversation, but it's another way that hopefully we can address these issues in a more
way. Chief, you had one just more thing over.
The hardest ones we have are the ones that are institutionalized, or that's just the way they were brought up.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been raised to have it, raised to have stuff like that. So we try to address the property. Literally, I've gone there and said, well, that stuff doesn't, and they don't register what
they don't understand it. No, I get it. And sometimes it's working like in a school setting like I do. It's sometimes you have to drop yourself down and talk to them at that level. Hey, how can I help you? What do you need help with?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's like, they're like, oh, this guy, they want to help me.
So I'm going to try to move us. I'm going to pull it in. I'm trying to move it along a little bit. No, we're good. But I mean, it sounds like under the blighted property ordinance, and unless I hear different from the board here, what we agreed upon is Sam and Chad will go out and they'll come back to us when they have something they want to share, and we have more discussion, more opportunity to talk for sure. Okay. So I'm going to move on to the park ordinance second discussion.
So for this one, I think it was Mr. Doran, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Mr. Doran wanted this to be looked at, see what if there was a possibility to allow at least alcoholic beverages in the park for special events, as opposed to not all the time, but for a special event. At least that's the way I remember it and understand it.
But while that is what I was looking at, and I don't know, because we just did a revision on park ordinances not that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're looking for a very specific, you want the no alcohol in the park or the play, because it's not just the park ordinance, it's a play, it's all in one. The same ordinance is playground, park, and airport. So when you change one, you'd have to say you don't want alcohol on special occasions down at the playground, I wouldn't think.
No, certainly.
So is there, I'll ask the board, is there desire?
I'd like to take a crack at this one as well. It was updated recently, but since then we've instituted a recreation committee.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of things that are written in the ordinance that is not standard operating practice right now.
Okay.
And we need to make some adjustments.
So you'll look at it and make some adjustments and we'll come back. Okay. Again, and make sure our ability to grasp gets our reach as we're looking at multiple things. Is that the
not good.
You're good?
Good with it.
Sam, you're good with that?
Yeah. And just with respect to what would be under discussion, I think it's reasonable to think we could allow for exceptions to be made for the rule when specifically applied for. And I think that would be the change I would be looking toward would be, is there room for some flexibility in this policy under a very rigid structure? That is what
I think my concerns, I'll hold them until when you come back. I think I made it real clear, no alcohol in the park with no exception. But that's just me.
This is going to be a tough road to hoe.
This is not me saying this with any expectation that.
But I mean,
can be achieved, but it would be my.
But definitely go take a pass at it. Bring it back, and we will
look at it with an open mind.
I will.
Can I pontificate? So I understand the concern, but so when I came on board 7.5 years ago, one of the conversations that we had in my interview was, how do we get more people downtown? How do we use our park more? How do we just get that presence downtown? And a lot of a festival of some type, whether it's a wine, something to bring in wine tasting. You know, if it's stringent enough, maybe that's what Fairhaven can be known for, like the Onion Fest or the Garlic Fest or whatever.
Yeah, and we're good.
That's my.
I just want you to know my only reason for feeling once you open Pandora's box, I don't know if you ever get it back. I'm not against the festival and having a place. Mm. I just don't know if the places we're talking, but we'll talk more. I'm going to look at it with an open mind. Moving right along, the next item is a liquor license.
Make a motion to approve a special events permit for Full Mountain Wine LLC.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Discussion. My only comment on that is as long as it's not in the park and we're not making any exceptions, it's got to be in the L where we've done it before.
That's exactly where it is.
Okay. With that, any other comments?
$250, right?
That's right.
Good thing, too.
Okay. Thank you all very much.
All right.
Any other? All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Unanimous. New business. The Casella contract extension.
Right. Scotch Hill Brewery that they stepped in July.
Yep. Sorry about that. I didn't see it.
No, it's okay.
Casella contract extension. Joe, want to?
Yeah, let's cue this one up. So the contract actually expired in July. I've been trying to get a hold of Casella to get this renewed starting back in October when the budget started. We started processing this year's budget. They finally got back to me with the contract. And as can be expected, there are some increases. The contract they sent back is so we have done 3-year contracts with the option to extend for 2 years, and that's the point where we're at now, 2-year extension. We do see increases. Looks like almost $29 for waste disposal, $46 additional, $46 for hauling. Let's see, cardboard hauling went up $56. It sounds like a lot of money, and it is a lot of money. So I went and I started doing, you know, poking around on the internet to see what's going on. I guess traditionally waste disposal inflation is higher for waste disposal companies, even higher than just our standard inflation. Particularly in New England, I wanted to know why this was so high. And actually there was a good article that, and I can give you the 4 bullet points. Operational costs, specifically minimum wage is bumped up and up and up, and these typically are minimum wage workers sorting garbage, you know, moving stuff around. So that's really contributed, at least in New England, not for this particular, but in our area. Compliance with stricter environmental controls, it's bumping up our costs. And that's, again, that's across the country, not even only here. In Vermont in particular, we have one landfill and everybody's dumping there.
That's still kind of tree crap.
Yeah. So we're dumping up there and prices aren't coming down. Landscape, there's a scarcity of places to dump, which drives up the cost. And then any other environmental technologies that have to be put in place to handle the recycling. So all that, I just got curious why costs went up so high. That was a pretty good explanation.
So are you recommending?
I am. Just the two-year extension. And I recommend that because I don't think we're not going to get away from this inflation, even if we put it out to bid. I feel like it'll be a kind of a futile effort to try to find somebody else. Last time we went out to bid, we got somebody, a couple companies that wanted to haul the garbage. They didn't process the garbage. So we were paying for the processing anyway, which would be Casella. So it was six of one, half a dozen of another. So yes, that's my recommendation, is just extending the 2 years for Casella, and then after that, go out to bid once again.
And as you said before, they're good to work with. Their service has been good. You've got no issues or problems.
No, not at all. They're very responsive, and they're great to work with.
Questions?
Are these prices you manage for top?
Any other board questions?
So in 2 years, we can really do some homework and see if other companies are cheaper.
Yes.
We should do it ahead of time if we can, so we don't get in a pinch.
True.
It may not be cheaper, but we owe that to everybody to try.
Are we ready? I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to extend the Casella contract.
I'll second that motion.
Any other comments or questions?
I think something that would be interesting to look at over the next 2 years would be, what does it look like? And I know this was like an original, still not an original thought, but a thought that I had when I first joined the board. What does it look like if we bring in a company to run trash pickup, recycling pickup at every door in town? You know, and is there a cost savings to switching to that methodology? So we want to look into that too in the next 2 years.
Another thing to look into, neighboring towns, a lot of them haul their own garbage. But it's more equipment, it's more manpower, and more insurance, I'm sure, involved.
It could be higher taxes.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to look at.
Yeah, just like, hey, we can give you anything you want to pay. Okay, you know what we're doing, but I understand your point. We talk. Absolutely. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
That's how it looks again. Okay, next on new business is the reappraisal discussion.
So this has been a niggling problem for the last 2 months. The board did approve Tyler Technologies to do the reappraisal for their contract was $155,000, which I didn't sign. Right about the time we released the RFP, something popped up in the newspaper about how they had managed the Castleton reappraisal, which led to some concerns. I've been back and forth with Tyler for the last, again, maybe 2 months, month and a half, and they really didn't give me any. What my major concern was, are they going to get into the homes in Fairhaven and make sure that the reappraisal they give us is fair and equitable? And are they going to be able to get enough homes to make it fair? And they just couldn't give me that guarantee that, yes, they would get into 34% of homes. They just refused to do that. What I did do was I reached out to NEMRC and said, what percentage are you going to give me? And they said, yeah, we're not going to do that either. I said, we're not going to give you a guarantee. So I told him, well, you could do 0% and it would be fine in the contract. And he said, yeah, but we wouldn't do that. So all that to say, at this point, I think it's six. The board approved Tyler. I'm not getting any other reassurances from NEMRC. So
what were the issues that Tyler had in Castleton?
There were some concerns that they were not going to the homes. They would just put a hanger on the door and not bother to knock. And I think one of the selectmen was actually sitting in his house at the time when they just kind of went up. So it sounds like they did correct the situation. And Sharon and I think we had a conversation with Mike in Castleton. We had a call with him. And he seemed contented after they went and had their powwow. So I guess I'm stirring the pot for no reason, because now I'm recommending maybe we just stick with Tyler. Never couldn't give me my reassurance.
Board, any questions on that before I go to
I'd like to think if there were any irregularities in Castleton and they were called out for it, then they might be on their best behavior the next time around. I'd like to give them the opportunity to make up for it a little.
I'd like to hear from Sharon and and Jack.
We'll give them just
not yet.
Now we're ready. What do our listeners have for input?
I'm sorry?
Any input on the two?
Yes, absolutely.
Sure.
We had read both proposals from Nemrick and Tiger in a separate conversation the listeners had. We thought that Tyler Technologies would be the company to go with. And then in consultation with Joe, we reiterated that. Our main concern and why we're here tonight is the fact that NEMRC is going to put your reassessment out, your reappraisal, out to 2031.
Oh.
And that's the earliest that they can do. And if we can please sign a contract with Tyler Technologies, they can start in July of 2026, and it would be done and completed, and we would be looking at using reassessed values in 2027. In doing my basic math on 30% of residential homes, those are R1s, R2s, mobile homes unlanded and mobile homes landed, they would need to contact 282 of our residences. And I don't think that that's a stretch. I think we're looking at 17-year-old data that we need to change. And it is going to cost the taxpayers money if we hold it off to 2031, because it's dependent on the CLA, which is, and I will read this information that I got from the state. I mean, this is the important part. The CLA is the a low CLA, which we have, it's below 80, means a town's assessed values are, on average, lower than the current market value. To compensate, the town's education rate is increased to ensure property owners pay a tax that is based on 100% of fair market value. And that's the education rate. So you guys we don't have any say in that. You know, we have say on our budget when we go to vote in March, but we don't have a say in the education rate. The state decides that.
Okay.
So Jack, our recommendation is to go.
Tyler, Jack, did you have anything you wanted to
add? We put together the information for the request for proposals, and the two that came back, Nemrick and Tyler, Tyler addressed all the issues. Nemrick kind of skirted around some of the things. I don't mean to speak ill of them, but they weren't there. I don't think their proposal was as complete as what we got from Tyler. The timeline, I think, was an important piece. At first, Nemrick was talking about being able to do it in 2028.
Yes.
And in the interim, since that first proposal, it's gone back those 3 years. So, whereas Tyler, being able to start that next year, I think, is important. I think people are afraid of the idea of an assessment, of a reassessment, because they're expecting that means their taxes are going to go up, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's going to be how that works out. Mm-hmm. If everyone is reassessed equally and fairly, that raises the whole level. And so people's tax rates or their portion of the grant list should stay the same. Can't speak to what that's going to do to the taxes, but their portion of the grant list, which is really what that valuation is, it should stay the same proportionally.
Okay.
But I think it's time, like Sharon said, 17-year-old data and 17-year-old values that we're dealing with.
So it sounds like you're recommending Tyler. Joe, when I heard you earlier, you talked and you said that after just Tyler.
Yeah, it's if I can't get a better product, then there's no sense in, and like the listeners have noted, they can get here sooner. So I'm not getting a better product.
And I think the issues were addressed in Castleton. And I think you at one point had the number of grievances.
Yeah, I was trying to get up-to-date grievances from the town clerk in Castleton, but she wasn't able to answer that today.
But it was a low number of grievances.
It was a very low number.
Like less than, am I right that it was less than 10%?
Yes.
So yep. Less than 10%
of
the residents.
That's very low.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
For
reappraisal,
that is very low.
Okay.
So process-wise, I'm just trying to think, because we probably didn't we already made a motion and put Tyler, said go ahead and see Tyler, so you don't need another motion.
No.
This is more of a discussion of more that you we're back saying, hey, look, here's where we are now. Do we go ahead and move forward? What I'm hearing saying is, Tyler's what we're and I heard tonight we should probably go sooner rather than later if we're going to get the timing.
Yeah, I can sign the contract.
Okay,
I'm not getting anything better.
Okay, good. Got a question?
I got a real dumb question here, and I've been thinking about this for years and a lot lately. Every few years. A reappraisal. All the towns all got to have reappraisals. Is there some sort of a program or is there something that could happen where they're always up to snuff all the time? So we don't have to spend $200,000 or $300,000 every 10, 15 years.
So that's called a rolling reappraisal, and we could absolutely do it. It would be approximately a third of all properties would be appraised on a rolling basis, as you're saying, every 3 years.
But what I'm saying is.
But it's going to cost.
Yeah, so is anybody.
So I don't know if we're ahead of the game, Rich.
Okay, but that's what I'm asking.
We're doing it. The state is now going to require reappraisals every 6 years. Yep. Mm-hmm. So it's going to happen.
Wow. So what I'm trying to say is, if that happens every 6 years, when I assume it's going to, would we be better off to get up front and maybe because you got less and less of these people doing it, and the price is going higher and higher and higher. So if you do every 6 years, but it takes 6 years to get it done, it doesn't make sense to me not to be up to snuff all the while.
I don't know. Really good answer to your question. I will tell you that the state is mandating more classes and more instruction for listers. And the possibility is that will lead to people going from a lister to having the qualifications to become an assessor. And so maybe we won't have the dirge of assessing companies in the state? I don't know. Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's scary. If you think about this, it's scary to have to come up with this kind of money every few years.
Well, the good thing about this reappraisal is we have contingency funds that the state has been putting into accounts for us. We have them under our control. We have been taking that money that the state has been giving us and putting it into contingency funds for this. I don't know if it will continue.
Jack, you wanted to
say? We might not have a good answer, but it is a good question. And yeah. Certainly it is something to look at.
Yeah.
It's the whole cost benefit thing. Is it better to do a rolling assessment like that where you're doing a third every year? And then comparing the costs, it certainly have to be something to take a look at. But it certainly is a good idea to take a look at.
Yeah. Who could actually do that?
The lister's office could.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I would, the only thing I would want to do, because I know up in Montpelier, they're talking about making something happen more regular with the reappraisal. Yeah. Before I jump out and do something ourselves, I want to get a better sense for what are they saying we're going to do so that we're not pulling against each other.
It's a discussion that you should happen, you know.
And usually the question we ask when something like this is, do we have the money? Where's the money? And we just answered that. We have the money, and so we can pay for it. Any other comment before we move on? Not where it sounds like we're going to go sign that contract and make it so. Okay.
Bathroom
break. Let's take a 5-minute, 10-minute break. And then we're going to pause the meeting and take a 10-minute break. Okay? Okay, I'm going to call this meeting back to order here after our break. And our next item is going to be the FY27 budget expectations discussion.
Sure. So this is something we started a couple of years back. Instead of, like a lot of town managers, just throw everything in the kitchen sink into the budget and expect the select board to then cut what they don't think belongs there, I'd like to ask the board, what do you want to see in your budget? What's your priorities and what's the percentage increase that you would be expecting from myself and our staff?
Sam, any thoughts?
I don't know. I hadn't really considered it.
Yeah.
I have lots of thoughts. I hope you share all of them.
I hate looking at it from a percentage increase or decrease or level funding. I always look at it from the perspective of what do we need and what can we do this year? And wherever that lands us, that's where it lands us. You know, we can look for efficiencies to try to get that number as low as possible. But I think if we don't include the things that are needed, that will keep up, not only keep up with the infrastructure needs, but the needed pieces that allow our town to thrive, I think are the pieces that I want to look for. And some folks might think that those are the extra add-ons that we don't need because it'll increase taxes. But you know what, if we're creating a community that people are going to be drawn to, I think it's money well spent. So
good input. Rich?
No, I kind of agree with Brad here. Infrastructure is very, very important. Our roads, we should do some more paving than we do because the roads are falling apart faster than people will. A lot of that is to do with drainage, mowing, brush cutting, and they're starting to get a handle on that thanks to our mowing machine. And that's very important. So my thought is to definitely put as much money into the infrastructure as we can. And our reserve accounts are very critical to keep up there. Very critical. And again, percentage, it's hard. I mean, you really can't. You really can't put a handle on what you really need.
Sam?
I don't know. My mind is wandering back to the leak in the dam up at Inman, but maybe that's not really. I don't know. It's not really here nor there. I agree with infrastructure. I agree with roads. I feel like it's the most common thing that I hear from residents is roads. Think about it.
I'm on the other side of the coin. I sat here on this board and we went in with the let's get what we need, and we beat ourselves to death over people coming in 10%, 12% increase. I want this turned into a wish list versus a need list. Because what you what some people call need, gotta have, is something that just would probably some other thing I looked at felt in a nice to do. Working with budgets and putting budgets together for a lot of years, I found that you have a better conversation. I think you keep in mind that if you come out and say, managers, here's your goal percentage increase. And for example, I look at things like what's the cost of living, what's the pay increases we did in our contracts and everything. And I'm saying your goal is 3%. When you put your budget together, I want you to be right around 3%. You can be over. You can come in with 8%. You got to build a good argument that this is the reason it is 8%. I don't want you coming into me with 12% and I knock you back to 4% because we just can't. I started 7 years ago on this board because I thought we had an affordability issue in Fairhaven. I think we're doing better. I don't think we're out of the woods with the affordability issue in Fairhaven for taxes, water, sewer. And so if you're talking just Maine, I think for right now, if you're just saying your first pass, I'd love to see that first pass at right around 3%. But I also want to have a discussion. We've been trying to get reserve accounts that we cut down to little or nothing. We jumped them back. We took a small step a couple of years ago. We took a little bit bigger step last year. I think we got to get reserve accounts. I hear from everybody about sidewalks. And if you, when we're talking sewer and everything, and wastewater and manhole covers, paving. You never have enough money for paving. We're going to take a bunch of our money and fix what we really need to fix up in Scotch Hill. Understand, in order to do that, we probably didn't do some things that were on our paving budget that were supposed to on the timeline to be done. That doesn't go away. We
because of getting behind, the other streets are in jeopardy of really getting behind. You know, yeah, Sheldon Road should be done before it gets real bad, but it's going to get real bad before it gets better. Cedar Street is horrible in that one section. I mean, just there's nothing left. South Main Street did not hold up on that last project for whatever reason. And it goes on and on. I can show you tons of stuff.
Yeah, a whole stuff there. But I don't know if you put that on to get an idea of what the board members were thinking. Hopefully that's what you got, Joe.
So what I heard was infrastructure, which I'm taking to mean roads and sidewalks and reserve accounts, which we have a lot of reserve accounts, so we'll figure stuff out there. For the ditching and roadside mowing,
this takes bodies and time.
Take bodies. Oh,
bodies.
That's labor.
Bodies and time.
So
if
we're talking about it and talking about, and I'll drop some staff and some paving in there,
and
sidewalks, and that'll be the brunt.
And we haven't talked in a long time. We haven't touched on their capital improvement plans and that. Right? When you start taking, we've got some new a new fire truck coming in. We've got another new brush truck. Understand the equipment we have out there. You're going to have a plan, a capital improvement plan that says this one's going out. Your money's here for that. As we're trying to keep our budgets where they need to be, there's a lot of that to look at. Is 3% realistic? I hear you. I don't. Is it something different? Don't know. But I know that the people who are paying their taxes are going to look and say, what kind of increase did I get to pay for these higher taxes? So sometimes we're in a position of having, and I just saw I think we're going to see, we've been fortunate. I sit back and our taxpayers trust the budget that we have and have been passing it year over year. I'm hoping it's because they know there isn't a whole lot of extra stuff sitting in there. We cut pretty close to home.
9.90%.
And
it wasn't a lot of fluff.
My good friend Bob Richards used to say I was tighter than bark on a tree. I get that when it comes to budgets here, but at the same time, you've got to be able to afford it.
Infrastructure is important to attract a tax base, which you need for doing business. We need a lot more tax base.
Yeah.
A lot more. I would highly support an option tax. The people coming into town, passing through town, help us a little bit with our infrastructure projects. And most everybody has a. We don't.
I think the argument before when it was voted down was folks will just go to other towns to buy whatever where there isn't an options tax.
So every other town has an option.
Has an option tax.
So now they go to other towns to support the other towns with their tax. And we're sitting here having this conversation that we really shouldn't be having. That's my opinion.
Some would want to try again.
We've been told two or three times, no, we don't want an option tax. And I still look there and say, I don't know if that's.
I don't know if people understand what it does for us. It spreads out. You know, a lot of people pass it down and just would gladly donate to us. Where we're not getting that. Huh? Mm-hmm. I don't know if we could somehow get through to folks that it would actually save them money and better in the long term, better the town. I don't know. I don't know the answer.
Well, I don't want to beat the guy that horse that was. When I keep hearing the sidewalks, storm drains, the paving, I forget what the numbers were, but it was so much a year additional without raising a dollar of your tax money that we were talking. I thought it was in the 175.
I was going to say 176.
I thought it was 175. Without raising anyone's taxes, that you could go to, do you know what you could do for paving or sidewalks and that without taxes? So I agree we should take another, because it makes this one here when you're saying what's your increase? Because I have no doubt in my mind that people want to do what's right. But quite frankly, I'll tell you, if you come back and tell me we've got a budget that we put together this year and it's going to go up by 8-9%, that budget's going to probably get voted down and we'll be back cutting again.
It should be some sort of a comparison where we could prove beyond a reasonable doubt that an option tax would help our local taxpayers out. Yes, we're paying more tax, but everybody's helping us, not just us. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's the way I look at it.
Anyway, not very good. So I don't know if that gives you something to help me, which what you're looking for is to help when you're talking with your staffs and they're putting their budgets together. Any other comments? Let's move on. Fuel bids.
This is the fuel bid for the coming winter. We received two bids, one from Champlain and then one from San Jose. Sands You Save is the cheapest at $2.59 a gallon. Just for perspective, last year we paid $2.70 per gallon. So was that 11 cents? 11 cents cheaper this year. If we go with Sands.
Who did we buy from last year, Don?
I think it was Champlain. It was Champlain last year.
Yeah, and we didn't get a bid to Mike's. I thought we did Mike's Fields one time.
We did. Let me see. I got the list of who we sent it to. Local Sam, Champlain, Getcha, Mike's was on the list, and Champlain Cole.
The Champlain Ball. Yeah. They didn't respond.
They didn't. We just got the two.
I say, personally, go with the lowest bid.
Fuelless fuel.
Fuelless fuel. Right?
Yes or no, but
is there a
going to those bits?
Is there another factor that we should be considering? Yeah.
It is. It's right here. It's a Fairhaven. It's a Fairhaven business, so I kind of like that.
Is there a reason we might consider Champlain other than?
No, no. Fuel's fuel.
It's different when we start talking about sand and salt and different chemicals for the roads and bits that come out of that.
I hear a recommendation of Sam's You Save of $2.59 a gallon. Do I have a motion?
Make a motion to accept the Sam's You Save fuel bid for the year.
I second that motion.
Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous again. 2 minutes for public comment.
Well, I know after the last meeting, we had been discussing the electric scooters and, you know, some way of possibly curtailing the danger that they represent. But we were trying to figure out a way to do it without putting another ordinance in. And while I absolutely understand, I'm sitting in my office this last couple of weeks, not to mention when I fell, and the more I thought about it and the more I was observing this last couple of weeks, we really, I believe, need some kind of ordinance that prohibits these electric scooters, the electric mini bikes or whatever you want to call them. Basically, any vehicle that is not human powered, I guess might be a way to put it, from being on the sidewalks. Because I've seen some really close calls downtown. At my office, I know we've got some, I've got a lot of elderly people. And I'm seeing these little, and now the school's in session, it will probably subside. But I saw one person that I'm not going to name at the moment, barreling right down the sidewalk, right around the corner where my office is, on one of those mini dirt bike things. If there had been, and he wasn't going nice and easy. He was whipping around. If there had been any little old lady like myself standing on the sidewalk, it would have been a very not good incident. We've got to do something about that. You know, if they're in the road, they're the ones that may wind up getting hurt. But there'll be less of a chance of them hurting other people if they run into a car.
Thank you for your comment.
To reiterate on what you said, Rose, as an avid motorcyclist, I have to take a class and learn the laws to ride a two-wheel bike or a three-wheel bike. Why is there not a law, state, whatever, countrywide, that they don't have to take to obey the same laws that you or I have to
On a motorized vehicle, on a motorized motorcycle, I have to do it. I take a test. I register to insure my bike. How come it's not done? Oh, let me guess, because it's under a certain cc. I don't care. They go just as fast as a regular car would, as my grandmother would have driven, 25, 30 miles an hour. They go that fast. They should have to take a class in order to use them. If not, and it's a kid doing it, go to the parents.
And not sorry,
that's
on,
just my personal opinion.
Not on the sidewalks.
Thank you.
Exactly. I can't ride my bike on that. On motorcycles I walk, you shouldn't be allowed to ride that bike on a sidewalk.
Don't stop at the intersection.
They don't.
They
follow the
traffic laws.
Come up to a stop sign and add one. And I drive a big white tandem truck for the town. And it's kind of a dangerous situation, these kids out there. I've been wondering, I can't be the only one thinking that this is a problem.
You're not the only one. We're the only ones to speak up about
that. And as far as, like you said, going to the parents, that's easier said than done a lot of times, because if they're acting like that, obviously they don't have much parental guidance.
Or maybe parents don't know they're acting like that when they're not away from near them.
That goes back to it takes a community.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Did you have something on? I wanted to make sure I got everyone before we got
so, someone. I don't have an electric mountain bike, but I do have a mountain bike that I do ride down the hill and into town. And there is a section of road by just coming past Shaw's, coming up Washington Street. And actually, I go on the sidewalk, which never has anyone on it. Because it's safer. The right of way there is. So I don't know, you know, it's like, oh man, no bicycles on the sidewalks, no electric bikes on the sidewalks.
But
some of these mountain bikes could be electric and they look like mountain bikes. It's a tough one.
If they're pedaling it, that's one thing, but if they're pushing the button, as a truck driver, I'm not a big fan of bicycles on the road, period. I'm sorry. Just because the size of the truck I drive, and they want us to give you 20 feet to get around here. Well, there's not room for me to give you 20 feet most of the time. There's just not. So it's.
Thank you for your comments.
I was just going to, Joe, have you by any chance checked with this on?
No.
Okay.
Moving right along to the parking lot. Anything in the parking lot? All still being worked on, basically?
Yeah.
Gonna move us on to round table. Sam.
You have anything new? Nothing that jumps immediately to mind. We discussed Scotch Hill. It's been a frequent topic of conversation, but that's not the jam. So,
Rich?
I have a couple of things. One of the things that's come to our attention at the concerts in the park, I'm not sure who's going to run that this year. Yeah, I haven't heard of anybody that stepped up to the plate.
Me and Rocky are running concerts in the park. And for everybody who's out there saying, it's going to be the worst thing ever, I'm ready for that challenge.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so, which brings me to another, we always stretch out the lead cords across the walkway, which I think we can do better. We can get a trench dug, put some conduit in there. Mm-hmm. And get a power pedestal on the other side of the walkway. And then after doing that, we can pour some concrete and get a nice little entrance to the park. Make it look really nice. And we've had people that want to donate to that, so it would be at no cost to the town.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we should really pursue that. Maybe put that on our next meeting's agenda or something.
Yes. Is the concrete path coming into the park?
Concrete path. Correct. And but before we pour that pad, we want to put the power across because there's some vendors that would like to have 220 for functions, which would help bring more people into town, spend some more money in town. And that's how this has been. There's some money that's been offered to the town, so it would be no cost to the town to do that.
I always like that. That no cost thing is pretty good.
Like you're thinking.
Anything else, Rich?
My next thing is I'd like to thank the DPW group for what they are doing. I think Sean's been doing most of the mowing. And I think Buddy's done some too, but where they really mowed back, like on the airport road, and there's a couple other ones that they got pretty well skinned back. That's what I like to see. That's the most important thing we can do. That will help with the ditching, and it'll help with the drainage, help with site distance. It's very important, and I appreciate them doing that.
Yeah. Oh boy. Reminders. Food truck frenzy tomorrow. Slater's first game Friday night. Under the lights.
Big one. Where are they playing? Where are they playing?
We're playing Hartford.
Home game.
Yeah.
And following the first win for 7th and 8th grade Vipers last weekend, the first home game will be at LaPlaca Fields Saturday night under the lights.
I'll be there to support you, Bob.
Awesome. A lot of cool things happening in town this week.
Cool.
It's great.
Now, is it 7th and 8th grade football as well?
On Saturday night.
Saturday night.
Good. Okay, I'm good. Just want to reiterate, though, thank you for the volunteers who did the painting for our fence.
I think the fence really came out very nice, to be honest with you.
It was great to see people step up, and I see the banner went up for Apple Fest, so coming soon, I want to support our trailer.
I got one quick question. I probably should have brought it up at earlier, but Food Truck Frenzy tomorrow night. Are we going to have restrooms this time?
Yes, the restrooms are going to be behind the bus stop.
Okay. Yeah. That was my biggest complaint that I got on the last one.
Yeah, we took the
heat. Everybody liked it, except there wasn't enough food trucks and there was no restrooms. That were the two complaints of that. The only thing I heard, other than that, everybody liked it.
Yeah.
So hopefully it's really good tomorrow night. I think the weather's going to be great, too.
It's going to be beautiful.
Moving right on to the review and the financial reports. Chad?
I make a motion to approve the general warrant of $618,912.13.
Wait a minute.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Got it.
Any discussion? That's so high, close, because there's a big Markowski bill of over 400,000.
471.
Of that in there, a pretty big chunk of change. All those in favor?
Aye. I'll make a motion to approve the payroll warrant of $42,603.57.
I'll second that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
And the checkbook sits at $394,084.
I'll entertain a motion to go into executive session for one VSA 313A attorney-client communication and one VSA 313A3 personnel.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
I make a motion to go out of executive session.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
I'll entertain a motion for the replacement.
Second.
I'll make a motion to appoint Keith Heyer as the
replacement for Michael Dorn to serve out the rest of Michael Dorn's term.
Yes.
Town meeting day 2020.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make the motion that we adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, gentlemen.